Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. A month into the Ukraine war, forgive me, the Iran war, and obviously connections between the two. Ukraine is one of the few countries just fulsomely behind the US military action, I suppose because Ukraine is fighting for its life, and it recognizes the cruciality of maintaining amicable relations with the Trump administration, which is no easy task. Therefore, they're going to say anything, do anything to keep Donald J. Trump on side. Pointing out that Iran gave those Shahed drones to Russia, that Russia is giving this targeting intelligence to the Iranians and so on. I mean, I don't know if that's true. It's been claimed. It wouldn't surprise me. Just like it's said that the United States, possibly other Western countries, have given targeting information to Ukraine about where Russian forces are and so forth. Right. So Trump has really mishandled this war. I mean, step one, don't start it. Okay. There was no need to. Even he claims that the Iranians weren't going to imminently attack the United States or any of its base abroad or ever. Like, which one, if they were ever going to attack, which one, where, what's your evidence, how, with missiles, with drones, with like ground attack or what? Anyway, so he started this war without getting people to coalesce behind him, without even attempting to persuade the American public that it was necessary, or Congress, that State of the Union address days before his unprovoked attack, and he said not a word about it. So there's no congressional authorization. Anyway, and then he's cut himself off by the knees by stupidly saying it's going to go on for 5 weeks. So the Iranians think all we need to do is wait him out for 5 weeks, and then he's lost and we've won. Then Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, in between getting drunk and molesting his subordinates, saying it's going to last for 8 weeks. Well, the Iranians say, okay, we can do 8 weeks. We did, was it 9 years against Iraq? 700,000 Iranians killed. Now, how many Iranians have been killed in this war so far? Something over 3,000. You know, so at this rate, it'd be well under 700,000 if it were to last for, you know, 8 or 9 years. So they have got staying power. They have got gallantry that, you know, Western countries find hard to even conceive of. Wow. So that's it. The regime see this is a war of survival. Yes, it is existential because Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald J. Trump, as they said, the objective was regime change. That's a very high bar to clear. Then they've changed. It's not. Netanyahu's again undercut Trump by publicly saying that regime change would not be brought about unless there's a ground invasion, which is very little inclination to do. They might seize Kharag Island, but the Iranian mainland, nobody is suggesting that. And we get all the way to Tehran? I don't think so. So, I mean, I think the US military could achieve it, but they'd have to set their mind to it. They would have to accept tens of thousands of deaths. And I mean tens of thousands of deaths. And for each death, there'd be about four wounded, partly because US military medical care is so good, they managed to survive, to save people who otherwise would not survive. In other military, they would succumb to their wounds and so on. So the cost of this is costing, you know, billions of dollars every single day and all the rest of it. So he's mismanaged it by his public relations disasters, by what he's been saying. And the Democratic Party are almost entirely opposed. The Republican Party are fairly jittery. What surprised me is the MAGA crowd are more on board than you'd think, especially considering a key plank of the Trump electoral platform was no more foreign wars. And he specifically mentioned Iran many times on the campaign trail, on the stump, said we're not going to start a war against Iran. Okay, and he's done it and he's broken that pledge. That's why J.D. Vance has been quiet on this one, because he said to privately disapprove. You think it make it a bit more difficult for him. And we know that Middle America is against the independents. They are very much against. It's going to make it a very hard sell in 2028, especially as casualties mount. There's only 13 American troops killed so far. The Iranians don't need to be lucky once with one lucky strike on a barracks or one lucky strike on whatever, a ship. It could be hundreds of dead. And they remember what happened in Lebanon when Hezbollah, the allies in Lebanon, did that to the US Marines and killed some French troops as well. And then Ronald Reagan, for all his tough guy swagger, he pulled out within weeks. Or Black Hawk down in Somalia. You know, one US helicopter shot down an incident, over 20 American troops killed. And President William Jefferson Clinton within days said, that's it, we're out of here. So they recognize the American public's got a very low pain threshold when it comes to deaths, when they view this as a completely unnecessary war. Iraq, Afghanistan, a lot of people thought it was necessary. This is really not necessary. And they've driven the price of oil and gas really high. It's hurting the US economy. It's hurting all economies. There's just less money to spend. I saw a headline in the United Kingdom. People have cut their spending 10% in the United Kingdom already. So your discretionary spending, you're eating out, you're buying gifts, you're going on holidays, they're going to cut back on that. Unnecessary journeys is really hurting the hospitality sector, tourism, things like that. You know, if you had to cut as an expense out of your life, these are things you can cut out. That, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling, fun, really. So it's very bad for certain sectors. Golf, you know, Trump golf courses. And then he just didn't assemble the troops in beforehand. If there is going to be this insertion to Kharag Island, that's taking days. Even the USS Gerald Ford, that aircraft carrier, developed those problems with a small fire on board, accidental, apparently didn't kill anybody. But that having to be withdrawn, is it all the way to Greece for urgent repairs? So doesn't have the troops in theater to launch this incursion into Kharag Island or wherever else, which I reckon they will seize, which will really hurt the Iranian economy. But then there's even less oil and gas in the world, which is going to drive the price even higher, which Donald Trump doesn't seem to realize. So the Iranians are willing to take an awful lot of pain. And so, yes, the Iranian public is very unhappy. They're suffering. They suffer for a very long time. It's worse now than it's been probably since the 1980s. But they're allowed to leave the country. Part of the Iranian government recognizes if they're malcontents, let them out. Don't keep them in, because that could foment, you know, unrest. So we have to, we can't have it hermetically sealed. You know, that would be a pressure cooker. We have to allow people to let off steam to go abroad, these troublemakers, as the Iranian government would see it. So that's why there's really no way that Trump is going to achieve regime change. Yes, he's killed some people, and the Israelis have proved they can kill just about anybody they want to in Iran. But is that making it better? There's no sign that the Iranians are backing down. I mean, there have been some negotiations. Iranians claim they're not even in talks with the Americans. Now, that might be strictly true in as much as they pass whatever a position paper onto the Pakistanis, who pass onto the Americans, and the Pakistanis receive from American communique, and they pass it on to the Iranians or something like that. So they're playing honest broker because they're very badly affected by it, and so on, bordering Iran too. So what on earth is going to happen? Go on for a few weeks and then there'll be some sort of humiliating climb down. No doubt Trump will try and sell it as a victory. Yes, they have destroyed some of the Iranian military capability, but they've not changed the regime. The Iranians might say, well, we're keeping the Straits of Hormuz closed and you've got to do things we want. I mean, Iran's not going to get everything they want. But they would want, they say, reparations for all the damage caused in this war, lift all sanctions, something like that. Maybe release some Palestinian prisoners, Marwan Barghouti or whatever, Israel to withdraw from South Lebanon and so forth. So I don't, how is the US better off than they were before this war? Okay, so 13 of them had got killed, not to mind the thousands of Iranians and Lebanese killed, not to mind the 150 little girls blown up in that school. So the tens of billions of dollars the US military has spent, and the hundreds of millions that's wiped off the global economy already 1 month in, how is the average American better off? They're not. They're worse off. And it's not worth it. And it was all completely avoidable. So that has been a disaster. So America's going to be more circumspect about this, less willing to fight abroad. And Iran's aware the United States would like to be able to fight a war in the Pacific, if needs be, over Taiwan. I reckon the Americans wouldn't do it, but they would at least like to be able to threaten the Chinese and make the Chinese believe they can do it. So he's bluffed about loads of things. They've called his bluff. Trump always chickens out there, recognize that. He claims the Iranians asked for 7 days, you know, a moratorium before strikes on their energy infrastructure. And he, out of his sheer generosity, gave them 10. Obviously, they don't believe a word he says. The Americans, would they need to be able to fight a war in Europe? They may never fight a war in Europe, but they at least have that possibility about if Russia attacks their NATO allies. Although Trump seems to think NATO is worthless, I think there are wiser people in the US government, that includes the Republican Party, in the military and so on, who recognize that abandoning NATO would be very foolish and short-sighted. And so that's why America's been able to inflict an awful lot of casualties, suffer rather few itself, because some of these excellent missiles, given that range, they've got a tremendous destructive power. But they're very expensive and they're not very many of them. And they've burned through about a third of those. Carry on 3 months, there'll be none left. Well, you can't have the cupboard bare. To rebuild the stockpile is going to take a long time. The US military has not placed orders to these factories. The factories said, well, we're not making more until you pay us the money. We guarantee we're going to sell them to you. So that's why they're going to have to stop very soon, or else use munitions with shorter ranges, which not such a big warhead, and so on. Less accurate, you know, dumb bombs and so on. Or troops fighting on the ground, which means a lot more casualties. So the US actually can't go on that much longer. And but it was quite a last minute decision. They didn't prepare for this war. The liberation of Iraq, March 2003, the US military had been preparing for that for over a year. All right. So that's how it's gone really badly. But I mean, the only good news is hopefully it won't go on too much longer. You know, maybe a fortnight, and we're thinking a month at the outside. But the Iranians might say, well, still keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed. And then what would have to be offered to them? They would like the US to withdraw from all military bases in the Middle East, which I don't think the United States is going to do. They might agree to withdraw from one or two or something like that. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.